Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we come before you as your children again this morning. First and foremost, to demonstrate our faith, our confession on the works of the cross on Calvary. To declare to the whole world which side of the world we belong. To tell the whole world we belong to Jesus. We came here, Heavenly Father, to express our heart before the God of all creation, the God of our salvation in worship. We have come to worship you. May our worship today be acceptable before you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord God Almighty, the way we are, we count on your mercy and your mercy alone. May none of us live here the same as we came today in the name of Jesus Christ. May none of us, Heavenly Father, live here the same, I repeat, as we come today in the name of Jesus Christ. May we live here better than we came in the name of Jesus Christ. May we be happy, Father, because we came here today in the name of Jesus Christ. May the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ be more meaningful to us after today in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to open your word, O Lord. And our prayer as we open the word is, open my eyes that I may see. Oh,
glimpses of truth thou art for me. Bless me, my head, thou wonderful King.
Oh,
thou shalt of rock and set me free.
Oh,
silently now wait for thee.
Oh,
my
God,
open my eyes, illumine me.
Oh,
see,
understanding of your word, Lord. Let this scripture be made real to us, Lord. We are continuing today, Heavenly Father, with the topic we started, walking in the will of God. We want to walk in your perfect will, not your permissive will. May you grant us understanding of your will, Lord, so that we will walk with you acceptably today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Can we open our Bibles to John chapter 6 and verse 38? If we are there. John chapter 6 and verse 38 for our text. Jesus Christ is announcing to the whole world, and that is a statement of every son of God, every daughter of God. For Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the Father among many brethren. If he's the first son, I am the second son. And what he says is also applicable to me. Take note of that. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated and be very reverent. Amen. I'm very reverent. And it's true that we will need to take some of these teachings over and over and over again. You see, there is a block of some brethren in this church who are very, very old brethren in this church in the WhatsApp. Very, very old brethren in the WhatsApp. And a topic I have answered question here several times. And somebody asked that question, and then I just replied in that WhatsApp, I said, yes, anybody in this group can answer this brother. And nobody, if they pretend as if they didn't see it. No comment, nothing. And I got worried because, you see, a very old sister in this church, after spending over, then he has spent over 7 years in the ministry. And every year of those 7 years, we were taking the 70 weeks of Daniel. Every year. It was not until the seventh time, because I will never forget it, that this young girl, after service that day, she said, "Daddy, it's now I understand." I said, "What?" He said, "The 70 weeks of Daniel." He said, "Before anything, they talk 70 weeks, 1 week, this one." He said, "She don't understand what thing they happen. What thing are they talk?" 7 years. Then I now knew, amen, why some students repeat some class. And the teacher will have to keep saying what he taught last year and repeat it again so that the old people who are repeating will also follow. There are some members of this church that they are repeating classes. Repeating, 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 repeating. The only unfortunate thing is that they delay the progress of those who are catching instead of moving forward. There are too many things to talk about that we should keep repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. And I had to call that brother personally to explain to him. Because he himself is his wife that asked him that question. Praise the Lord. And the question is, because if I ask so many people, who is down here, who came to this church, who started this church before me, if I ask them, they're not going to answer me. The question is, why was the son of Ham, Canaan, cursed instead of Ham, who committed the sin? And I've answered that question here openly several times. See now, how many people know the answer? Jehovah Almighty. Wave your hand confidently if you know it. Sister, no sister know it. You see? If it's marriage and divorce question now, every sister knows it. The gospel is more than water baptism. The gospel is more than baptism of the Holy Ghost. The scripture has a lot for us to learn. So you don't even know the answer. Jehovah. But that's not where I am going. I'm stressing this. Because that song says, "Open my eyes that I may see. Open my ears that I may hear." Some, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "He who has ear to hear." Some people have ear, but those ears cannot hear. Let me tell you, praise the Lord. A young man was telling me on Friday, he's new in this church, and he said that he was asking the Lord, "What is the secret that Pastor Moses will stand and then people will ask questions?" He said he even noticed that some people ask questions just to disgrace him in his language. He said, "But I will still go corner, 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 corner and defeat them." He said, "What type of grace is this?" He said, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, "Because he diligently studies." I said, "You are correct." Amen. See, some people, when it is time for preaching the word, that is when sleep comes. I am telling you, it is when it is time to study the word that sleep disappears from me. I want to follow because I want to know this God. The mystery of redemption is too deep and too interesting. It's too interesting. Spirit of religion is disturbing us. That's why some people don't, you know, don't, no progress in your spiritual life, because there is nothing you are doing to know Him. If you know God, it will reflect on how you relate with Him. And some of us behave the way we behave. It is a reflection of how we know him. See, some of you just know him by recitation of some scripture. Too many things to reveal the secret of salvation. I took a decision yesterday when I considered something. I said, I want to take a study. I want to take a private study and I'm going to enroll through the internet. I'm going to enroll and I mean it on the study of, you know, of both. About, I want to know something about the growth of a plant. I discovered some scripture. Jesus says, we speak about seed. Everything, farm, everything, harvest, everything, this, all he types about salvation is, hallelujah, is, you know, about sowing, harvest. And do you know that the whole life itself is revolved around sowing and reaping? It is what you sow, you will reap. Whether now for farm or your relationship with human beings, everything about life has to be with a seed that is sown, it grows, it harvests. Hallelujah. I was sharing with the ministers the proverb that says, he that tended the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. And it was so deep until he told me to, you know, put that right up and give every one of you. So deep, everything. And I was considering, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, there is something God is speaking to us about redemption. I want to study it. I want to study it. That thing called seed. Praise the Lord. I want to know, why will the corn of wheat, why will it die first? I want to know why it will die first. I want to know the meaning of that die. I want to know what happens when you put a seed on the ground, you bury it. I want to know what happened inside. There's something that happened inside. I want to know what is happening inside so that I can relate it to my life. Praise the Lord. So that I can also relate it to sowing. There must be something if that is, what is seed faith? I want to know. I'm only using that as an example. That's not my message. By the time I catch a well, then I can share it with you. Praise the Lord. But I'm only saying, because some of you who listen, you will also begin to do that. Go and search. There is something about this seed that is planted. And I pray that I will catch that revelation before our prosperity week, so that I can come and share it with us. Praise the Lord. It's necessary you listen. Amen. Because the topic we're looking at is walking in the will of God. And that we see that there is the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. And if it is true that God has his perfect will and also has a permissive will, then we should know in which will should we walk with God. For Jesus himself said, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And God is not going to expect anything short of perfection from his children. And we are in the ministry of perfection, because it is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The ministry of the Holy Ghost is the ministry of perfection. Hallelujah. I repeat, if you have the Holy Ghost, you are in the ministry of perfection. And God is not going to expect anything less. And we're supposed to progress in our understanding of this mysterious God, our Father. We are supposed to progress in the knowledge of this mysterious God. And he allows us to know him precept upon precept, line upon line. He expects us to grow in the understanding, grow in the knowledge, and grow also in the faith. And the more you know him, the easier, you know,
your walk with him will be.
Jesus Christ said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, his yoke is easy, is light. The burden is light. The yoke is easy. Walking with Christ has no stress. I am telling you this. Walking with God, no stress, no stress. And we are finding it stressful because we have not understood him to know how to walk with him. Hallelujah. The day you know, and we cannot know it in one day. It starts somewhere. But you must progress. You must progress. And what you have caught, hold on to it. What you have caught, hold on to it. Any revelation you catch and you discover it is working, hold on to it. Any principle you catch by revelation and you discover it is working, hold on to it. It makes your Christian life easy, easy, easy. Any revelation you know, if I do this, this will happen to me, and you don't want it to happen to you, what do? You avoid it. What you see, you avoid it. But we have Christians who every day they are laboring, laboring, laboring. No peace, no peace around you. No. You see, you cannot remain babies every day in the faith. Babies, babies. He says, let us move to maturity. Let us move to maturity. And faith cometh by hearing. Every day we come, I believe every revelation God gives me as a preacher is to share it with you for the betterment of your Christian faith. And anything I get, I'll continue to share with you. And please, I don't even share what I have not confirmed. I share so that I'll be a true witness. I am telling you, serving the Lord Jesus Christ is sweet. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ is sweet if you know how to serve him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When I keep telling all those who are faithfully serving him, sacrificially serving him, I say, God does not owe any man anything. It's difficult to catch it. Amen. God doesn't owe anybody anything. There's nobody that serves God faithfully and regrets it. The day you catch that revelation, you will not care what anybody says concerning you. The day you catch that revelation, that salvation is first and foremost a personal relationship first before your brother, your sister, you will not be affected by what other people do. The day you catch a revelation that every one of us, we are called according to God's purpose, then you begin to seek for God's purpose in your life so that you will work to achieve that purpose or avail yourself for God to fulfill that purpose. Amen. I say this because we are in a period of so much depression, so much difficulties in the land, especially in this part of the world, that people attention have been shifted away from the source of life. Teachers, preachers everywhere begin to tell us what we want to hear. Tell us what we want to hear. Hallelujah. They begin to tell us about prosperity, about this, about that. And all they are telling you is God is good, God is good, God is good. But the principle, hallelujah, the principle to walk with this God in a time of depression like this, not too many people know it. Always remember that God does not walk with the economy of man. God has his own economy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this is his economy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall follow. May God give you a hearing ear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said he did not come to do his own will. That means Jesus has his own will. Every one of us, we have our own will. Every one of us, if you want to enjoy working with God, let your own will be buried in his own will. Oh, glory be to God. You want to enjoy working with the Father who called you for a purpose. Let your own will be buried. Let your will be buried. Not my will, Lord, but your own will be done in my life. And if you decide that you will walk in your own will, at the last day, he's going to say, not all that say, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom. You will say, was it not in your name I cast out devil? Was it not in your name I was doing this and that? I was doing crusade. I was doing this. Whatever it is you are doing, we are doing it and we are expecting a reward. We are expecting acknowledgement from him. He said, but that day, hallelujah, praise the Lord, he will tell you that I never knew you. Get away from me, you that walk iniquity. See it again. Take note of that statement. Verse 21. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Take note of that statement. Hallelujah. Not everyone. I want you to underline that statement. That said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who will enter? But he that doeth the will. That is the emphasis. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? Then find out the will of the Father. If you understand scripture, find out the will of the Father, so that the purpose of manifesting you, the purpose of saving you, can be fulfilled in your life. That is all we're trying to stress last week, and God helping us, we want to conclude it. You can take the first part. We're going to the second part today, walking in the will of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because in every aspect of our lives, God has his perfect will. And we confuse this perfect will sometimes by our lack of understanding of the scriptures. There is God's perfect will and there is God's permissive will in every aspect of our life. Every aspect. There is the perfect will and there is the permissive will. Take for instance a divorce. This was the way Jesus put it. Matthew chapter 19. Divorce. Verse 7, 8 and verse 9. Amen. See what he said. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? Why did Moses permit divorce? Now, before we read verse 8, listen. Moses in the law gave Israel a law that if for any reason you don't want your wife again, he said, put it in writing. I don't want you again. And give it to her. Divorce. Settled. Amen. And you know what? And heaven backed it up. Amen. And remember that The laws that were given, amen. Amen. They were given through Moses. So it is expected that everything Prophet Moses says is thus said the Lord. Am I correct? Hallelujah. And so everybody believed that it is the will of God. And you know what? God stamped it because it came from his servant Moses. It was not God that told Moses that, oh. It was not God, oh. It was Moses that said it and God allowed it. Verse 8. See the reason Moses gave it. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Hallelujah. Yes. You will not go to hell at that time. Moses had given you the law to lead you to fulfill his assignment to remove Wahala, because he knows how wicked you are. He knows. So that lets me know that God, for the hardness of your heart, can grant your desire. Concerning divorce, in the beginning, it was not so. And hear what he said in verse 9 now. Hear what he said in verse 9. And I say unto you, now, hallelujah, the age of perfection has come. We are in the age of the perfect will of God. And God is not reserving another age for that perfection. This is the age of perfection. Therefore, he expects us to be perfect. It is only in this age the Lord Jesus has commanded, be ye perfect. Now verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, this is the only reason, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, which sin have you committed? You have committed adultery. And all adulterers have their part in the lake of fire. And listen again. Not only the one they put away, you go, and whosoever marry her, which is put away, even you, you don't commit adultery. So there is no way of escape. Marriage is for better, for worse, until death do us part. If you have put away your wife as a believer, you are risking your eternal destination. See how the church just quiet. In the beginning, it was not so. Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah. The same Jesus, verse 31 and verse 32. He repeated it. The same Jesus. Matthew chapter 5. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, what have you done to that woman? You caused her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her, hallelujah, that is divorced, you have also committed the sin of adultery. So, this woman is horrible. This woman is bad. This woman is terrible. choose between her, her bad behavior, and going to the lake of fire. And if it is something that you know, hallelujah, you cannot put away, then why not work it out? Why not try and work it out? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If for any reason, do you know what? Do you know how the Lord Jesus Christ tie it? Do you know how he tied it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you are no wiser than God because you know there are lawyers. He said, whosoever putteth away his wife, except it be for fornication, he said he caused her to commit adultery. That means, of course, if you drive her away, another man will collect. Eh? Even if you say, I no marry, I will remain without wife. You have caused somebody to commit adultery. Therefore, the same punishment follow you. That's why I read it. He didn't put it like that in Matthew 19. In Matthew chapter 5, he clarified it very well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's not about you telling her to go, because the woman will leave and another man that may not know go and marry her. And you may even know. Now listen, when I speak like this, amen, we are in the restoration ministry. Listen, Brother Abraham preached a message on marriage and divorce. And it was a condition of the church. It was a condition of the church. There was a lot of confusion concerning marriage. And with the authority of the dispensation given to him, like Apostle Paul, we boast. He too had a dispensation in his heart to set certain records straight. And now he settled it. And there is something very interesting about that action. That message that he preached, God gave him grace. And that grace is still scriptural. Because whatever you do in ignorance, God will wink at it. But so he came and said, including those believers who were there with more than one wife, who had divorced and married another, in different horrible estates of marriage condition. And then he came by the authority. When he was going to preach that, the Holy Ghost made him to wear a wig of a judge in a prophetic action. That is, he was going to pass a judgment. And what is the judgment? He said, stay the way you are. You have driven her, she has gone to marry somewhere, or you have taken another wife, or you have married two wives, or whatever estate that you are, remain the way you are. That is the pardon that was given for your ignorance. And you know what? It's not only William Branham. Anybody that will pick that same message, a preacher to preach today, and he comes to a group of people who are also in that same estate, under the authority of that same message, even if I'm going to preach it 70 years after, you are hearing it for the first time, I can also say with authority, under the ministry of restoration, I say, stay the way you are. Now that you have known the truth, I am not preaching to create confusion. Hallelujah. Stay the way you are. But brother, you are still living with her now, and you were planning to divorce her. It's too late. It's too late. If you had divorced her before you hear what I'm saying now, then God will forgive you.
But if you have not yet divorced, you cannot divorce. Hearing me now. It will become sin unto you. Because I'm also speaking by authority. In the beginning, it was not so. So we go back to the beginning. In the beginning, it was one man, one wife, Adam and Eve. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, not wives. And the two of them, not four of them, shall become one. Three cannot be one. Only two God allowed to be one. The mathematics of heaven. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 7, verse 2 and verse 3. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 2 and verse 3. Listen to the law. For the woman which had an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. It is thus saith the word of God. And it's not for you to pray for the man to die. Amen. And let me even tell you, the man not gonna die. No matter how bad he is, brother, no matter how bad she is, you are wasting your time. Instead, pray for God to change him. Pray for God to change her. That prayer is the prayer that God will answer faster than further than that. Praise the Lord. So according to the Bible in Malachi chapter 2, can we read it verse 14 and verse 15 and 16? Amen. Malachi, the Old Testament. Chapter 2. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Verse 15. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one? That he might seek a goodly seed, the purpose of marriage. Therefore, take it to your spirit and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Brother, finally, hallelujah, verse 16. Hallelujah. Listen to it, underline it. For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hated putting away. God hates divorce. I repeat, anybody contemplating divorce here, listen, God hates it. And we that are counselors, we should have this at the back of our mind when we are counseling people, even when you see a revelation. I have seen somebody who will say, the woman that you marry, it's not your wife. I can't say that. You're a prophet, Abby. You're a pastor, Abby. You're a prophetess. You're a counselor. If you want to progress, you have to do away with that man. You have to do away with that woman. Ha! My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And when the blind lead the blind, what will happen? They create more problem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They create more problem that should be solved. Praise the Lord.